561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues. We'll be facing an issue today that I believe is very, very serious in relationship to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we are in spirituality and Christianity in our nation. The subject, the issue, what is apostasy? What is apostasy? You ever consider that? Do you understand what apostasy is? We're going to talk about apostasy. We'll talk about its description. We'll talk about the consequences of apostasy. We'll talk about what happens when a person falls out, drops by the wayside, and ignores, abandons God. But many people, I believe perhaps you are listening today, and you do not even recognize the term apostasy or what that means. We'll be talking about it today because I think it is germane to the condition spiritually in our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is in deep, deep trouble on a national basis. Serious theological doctrinal issues are undermining the trust, the faith, and the confidence in the lives of millions in our nation and perhaps around the world. Some say that the virgin birth is not true. Some deny the reality of the rapture of the church. Yet others, some of the progressive woke churches today, are advocating and embracing the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. But there's a more serious lurking event, ladies and gentlemen. There are those that will say that we're living in the days of the tribulation today. They have no chronology. They have no recognition of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it will be raptured out, what will take place, what comes after that, etc., etc. And as a result of much of this, I believe we find apostasy today. Now, perhaps you've got questions about that. Perhaps you're in that position yourself. I'll just give you an example. Just recently, I talked with an individual. Will not say whether it's a man or woman. Talked with an individual, and they said they're saved, but hadn't been to church for 17 years. Does that sound like some things you've heard or said or that you have experienced? If I say that I'm alive and I've just chosen not to eat for 17 years, where would I be? And if a person has said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, they are alive spiritually, and how can a live spiritual being reject the gathering together to worship and to fellowship in the local New Testament church? George Barner, in the Barner Report, a little over a year ago now, said that we have 300,000 churches in America. And George Barner's statement was that in the next 24 to 36 months, one-fifth of the 300,000 churches will close. That's 60,000 churches. Why is that so? What is causing that? It's apostasy. We're going to look at apostasy. What is apostasy? What are the consequences? And ultimately, we'll talk about today the cure. What's the cure for the falling away? So, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about these issues. We do so from a central biblicist worldview. What does the Scripture say? How do we view the Scripture? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, John 8:31-32, made a profound statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Now listen, this ties in very much with what we'll talk about today about apostasy. Jesus says, if you continue, stay, constantly dwell in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That means you're truly my disciple if you stay in my word. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. But ladies and gentlemen, we have those today across America, and perhaps, I don't know, you could be one of them. But the secularist George Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Do you argue about truth? Do you reject truth? The truth of God's word in particular is what we're talking about today. May I say to you, there are a lot of people, many multitudes of people today that say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, I'm looking at headlines that says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, that same survey says that 55% of the millennials say that each person has his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. You can't take a half-truth and make anything other than a lie out of it. We recognize the condition that America is in. But fundamentally, may I say, when coming to spiritual, elemental truth that we're talking about today, multitudes refuse to believe the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And that's the only thing we have to base our truth on from a biblical, theological, doctrinal position, is the word of God. If you out of hand reject God's word, and by the way, I understand. In fact, the last number, I don't know what it is today, the last number of the revisions, or the translations, as they call it, about 483, and most of those are good for wallpaper if you got an outhouse, but that's about all it's good for, and yet that's in the hands of multitudes today. And I believe, very frankly, and I'll jump ahead a little, I believe, frankly, that that's part and parcel for the reason for the apostasy today. The watered-down dribble that's called the translations or the revisions of the Word of God. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast today. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe that's the answer today. Is we need to be willing to love the truth, live it, learn it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, with all the denominational dogma, all the rejection of biblical truths, all the cotton candy theology, all the goosebump theology, and juxtaposed together, I always call it voodoo theology. Ladies and gentlemen, there's yet a grave, grave situation that's taking place in our churches today. It's the falling away, the apostasy. I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors in Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, thank you for being here today. Thank you for sitting with me around the round table as we talk about this very serious issue. When we talk about, I do not want to get into the essence of where we're going, but do you see an apostasy? We'll talk about in a moment the definition of apostasy. It's really the falling away. Do you see that taking place in churches, cross-denominational lines today?
So many churches today are not standing for the truth and not teaching the truth, and therefore we're becoming anemic. We're weak in the faith, and many are falling away, and I use that expression to mean that they fall away and take up with false teaching, and they're not sure what the Bible really has to say on many of the topics they're talking about.
That's right.
They're not taught in the Scriptures. We need, in our churches today, to be taught the fundamentals of the faith, the truth of the Word of God, not the thoughts of men, nor the philosophy of men.
Right. By the way, and we're going to touch on this again later about some recommended books, but when you said that, it reminded me of your book that the university published just several months ago, and it was the book on the isms, the seven isms that is taking place today and causing some of the falling away. Tell us about that book, and just run down the table of contents and tell us about the book and how that, in your opinion, plays into the falling away.
This book is about the seven isms. There could be more than seven, but we dealt with seven isms that lead to apostasy, and we have the biblical answer. In this book, we think about Bible answers to false assumptions of the world's isms today. And many of the world's religions begin with a false assumption.
False assumption.
It's a more a theory rather than truth.
Tell us why it's called the seven isms. What are the isms for our listeners?
In this book, I have dealt with the era of humanism, socialism, New Ageism, Mormonism, Marxism, and Phariseeism, and also Catholicism.
So those are the, when we talk about isms, I wanted our listeners to understand what we're talking about, isms, and I believe it would be very wise for a person to have that book and others that we'll talk about today that will support the feeding of the flock of God, the feeding of the word, and getting our listeners in a position that they will have a basic fundamental foundation to hang on to biblically, spiritually, theologically, and doctrinally. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what is apostasy. I'd love to hear from you today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Perhaps you've got questions about, let me just give you some basic thoughts that might generate your questions to help you find answers. Perhaps you're wondering why the church you're going to, or the churches that you've been in, or the church that you're seeing, perhaps you're wondering why. Why are they closing? Why are they drying up? Why are the seats so empty in a church? I know a church, not in this state, but another state. It's got officially about 700 or 800 members. There are about 150 to 250 that will show up on Sunday morning, but on a Wednesday night service, about 25. Now, my question is, what causes that? What is the fundamental reason behind that? Now, Dr. Phelps and I had been talking prior to going on the air this morning. We had talked for a few minutes. One of the problems is, Dr. Phelps, I believe we've got a lot of folks in our churches today that are lost. They've never truly been born again, never truly been saved. As a result of being lost, they have no food to grow on, spiritually speaking. As a result of that, we're finding multitudes that are falling away. As I've used the term for many years, Dr. Phelps, a person can join a church and that doesn't make him saved. A church can join a as I call it, a moose, goose, moose, or got loose club, and that doesn't make them saved. And many look at the church as another club to join and be on the list of things that they do and their resume, if you will. But I believe the part and parcel of it is so many people today have never truly been born again. And therefore, if an individual is lost, as we were talking, they're anemic, they do not know the word, they do not have anything to feed on, and therefore they cannot grow into a strong Christian that will cause them to continue to keep on keeping on. In fact, a text that comes to mind, and you're familiar with that in the Gospels, with the seed, the sower, and the soil. And you find there four illustrations of the seed being sown, and only one, the seed takes root and produces fruit. That's biblical salvation. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, gentlemen. I believe the apostasy has been going on for a while, and that we have been eyes wide open but closed to what has been going on in the church. And with the entrepreneurship, the preaching out in the parking lot, and it's just so much going on. But then the love of God. But if you truly love Jesus and you're gay, it's nothing too hard for him to turn around. I believe they're just like that because that's the way they want to be. You can name it anything you want, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to stand before the Lord.
Terry, you're exactly right. Let me go back and do a little parenthetical footnote to what you said.
Okay.
Biblical salvation, if a person is truly saved, as I told a person many, many years ago, they said, if a person can be saved and he's always saved, once saved, always saved, does that mean that person can live any way he wants to? I said, yes, ma'am. And then I paused for a moment, realizing that individual could say, really? Do you think you can get saved, live however you want to? Yes, ma'am. Because once you get saved, you got a brand new want to. You want to read the Word. You want to serve the Lord. You want to shy away from sin. You want to say yes to Jesus Christ as Lord, not just as Savior, but Lord, that is owner, master, controller in your life. And those other things that you're talking about. Let me just say this also. I believe that it is an impossibility for a person to say I'm saved and live a sodomite lifestyle. It's an impossibility to say I'm saved and never want to go to church. It's an impossibility to say I'm saved and I can go out and go to the bar and the lounges. I can have my Miller Low Life and Bud Dumber, and it's okay because I'm saved and I'm satisfied in my sin. It's an impossibility. This is one of the things that we're talking about. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
I say amen to what you just said, but scriptures teach us that when we're saved, we have a divine nature.
That's right.
And God gives us the cravings that a saved person should have. Our want to is changed, and we want to serve God. We want to please Him. We want to honor Him, and we want to stand for what is true and what is right. So we believe that the scriptures teach us that a person, if they're truly saved, will have a changed life.
Changed life.
There's
Absolutely.
A change that takes place, and God is accomplishing that through His power, not ours.
Absolutely.
God works through us to make us like His Son. God wants to have a heaven full of people who are just like His Son.
Amen.
And He's the Holy One.
Amen. He wants us day by day by day to become more and more like Him, not like we want to be in the old nature. Terry, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. Thank you, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Dr. Phelps and I are talking about today a subject. What is apostasy? Dr. Phelps, I have outlined just for a note card. What is the definition of apostasy? Number one, a falling away. Number two, a defection from the faith. And number three, a revolt from the truth of the word. That's the definition. Leaving the church, abandoning the faith, leaving the fundamentals of the faith, just casting them aside. So that being said, in just a moment, we're going to look at scripture passages in the scripture that validate the term apostasy and what it means. I believe we have Harper, have Davis on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. And this is a subject I've been dealing with for years and years and years, basing it on Colossians 2, verses 6 through 8. And Jesus warned his disciples about going after the tradition of men. And nowhere in the Bible have I been able to find where Jesus taught his disciples that he would be crucified on Friday and raised Sunday morning. That is against all the principles I can find. He said he would be in the heart of the earth for 72 hours. And from Friday till Sunday morning is only 36. That's a half-truth. And I believe you've made the statement, a half-truth is a whole lie. Can you give me a place in the Bible where Jesus endorsed a Friday crucifixion and a Sunday resurrection?
Dr. Phelps, I'll toss that to you first, and then I'll pick it up.
One of the things I've learned as I've studied the scriptures, and I'm a student of the Bible, I want to learn more.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ."
Mm-hmm. Amen. And
now, that verse is so important to us because God warns us about false teaching. False teaching usually has its basis in philosophy and tradition and in vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and ignoring the scriptures. Apostasy means the departing from the faith, and people depart from the faith because they abandon the truth and adopt false teaching, and atheistic teachers are doing a good job of that today.
Amen.
So many of our universities and so many of our church organizations today are involved in things that simply ignore the truth of the scriptures, and I believe will bring grief to God, grieving the Spirit of God, ignoring the truth of the scriptures. So people have departed from the faith, and they give heed to false teaching. And that's one of the great problems we have in our churches today. Many of our liberal churches have adopted the false teaching of men, and the testimony of God is simply ignored.
Yes. Yeah. Let me go back now. What you said sets the stage. Davis, I'm looking at Mark's Gospel, the 14th chapter, and it says, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him," speaking of Jesus, "by craft, and put him to death." So that text picks up chapter 14, verses 1 and following. It's on a Wednesday. And on Wednesday, it's pointing to 2 days, which will be on Friday. Follow me? All right, it's Friday when it's Passover, and Jesus becomes the Passover Lamb. John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." He became the Passover Lamb at Passover time, and Passover time, according to the Scripture, was on a Friday. You follow me?
Yeah, but Dr. Youngblood, also Leviticus says the 14th day is the Passover, and the next day is a Holy Convocation Day, which is the 15th, and that starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were two Sabbaths that week, the 15th, and also the weekly Sabbath, which is Saturday. Matthew 28 and verse 1 says, in the original scripture, there is two Sabbaths, not singular.
All right, let's get back to the fundamentals, though, of where we're going, Brother Davis, is the chronology in the scripture. And here's the point. Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so also the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He didn't say 72 hours. He didn't say 24-hour days. You go back to Jewish reckoning, at sundown starts a new day. And any portion of a day is considered a day in Jewish reckoning. So no place in the scripture did it say he's going to be in the earth for 72 hours. Doesn't say that any place. It's talking about 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. Now, we don't have in the book of Jonah, and I preached Jonah many, many, many times, we don't have anything in the book of Jonah that says 72 hours. It talks about 3 days. And after 3 days, he was spewed up by the whale and then started telling the people in Nineveh, God's going to destroy you in 40 days. That was his message. But I go back to Jewish reckoning. We use today the Gregorian calendar. That is not what was used in Jewish reckoning. And all of the in fact, today, the Jewish people do not use the Gregorian calendar. They're using the Jewish calendar. We got a totally different time system, day system, but it does not change the fact of the way the reckoning of the days were counted for the Jewish people. Jewish people today, they will look at the Sabbath starting at 5 o'clock on a Friday. It starts the Sabbath. So that's my point. Now, again, I've had this, not debate, but this consideration, the conversation, many times in the Bible classroom with students as I teach in the college. I've had it many times in, what is it, about 60 years of ministry, answering the question. And there's no better answer, no deeper question that can be asked and answered than what I've just simply given. Because if we split hairs with it, I've had people say, well, Jesus had to have been crucified on Wednesday. No, it wasn't. He was crucified on Friday. So either he was crucified on the wrong day, or we're misinterpreting something. And if he was crucified on the holy day called Passover, if he was crucified and became the crucified Lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin, that Passover, he literally, philosophically, theoretically, and actually became the Passover Lamb. And that was on holy day, the Passover, that Jesus was crucified for our sins. And if he said 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, just as Jonah was, he's in the belly, in the heart of the earth, I believe it, I accept it, without trying to count the number of hours. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand completely.
All right. God bless you, and thank you so much, and have a blessed day, and keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about, what is apostasy? What is apostasy? Dr. Phelps and I will be talking about that for the balance of the broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. Perhaps you've got questions about the falling away, the actual definition of apostasy, the falling away, defection from the truth, revolt from the church, leaving the church, abandoning the faith. And ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing that today more. Hear me. We're seeing that falling away, that apostasy, that abandoning the faith more today than in the history of the New Testament church. Now, Dr. Phelps, I believe one of the elements that caused an exponential rapid defection of the faith today goes back to the closing of the churches for COVID, where our government said that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was not essential. Pot shops, service stations, massage parlors, and I could go on and on and on, were essential according to the governing bodies, and so they were left open. But the churches were told, you've got to close. In fact, one or two pastors were arrested because they tried to keep their churches open. Some were prosecuted, some were fined, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that set the stage, I believe Dr. Phelps, that lit the fire to start the flames of apostasy that we're witnessing today on this very rapid pace, the falling away. So, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get into the depth of those two texts in just a moment, right after the top of the hour news. But we're talking about what is apostasy? Are you facing that? Have you fallen into that category? Is it possible today that you say you're saved because you believe once saved, always saved, which is biblically true, but because of that you think I can be saved and still not go to church, still fall away? I've got news for you. You need to check up, see if you've been saved. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to come right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.